Okay, our next speaker is Anand Suresh, who is at Google Research, and he's going to be talking about orthogonal random features.
Thanks for that. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming to the talk. My name is Kirtha. I'll be talking about orthogonal random features. Thank you. This is joint work with Felix, Christoph, Gang, and Sanjeev, and we are all at Google Research in New York. In this paper, we propose a better algorithm for Gaussian kernel approximation. But before I jump into the details, I'm going to first give you a bit of background and motivation for the work. So as all of us know, linear classification is a basic primitive in machine learning. In it, we just find a hyperplane that separates positive samples from negative samples. Linear classifiers are fast, easy to train and infer from. But however, as this picture suggests, it's not very powerful. Therefore, we often resort to nonlinear classification. And we use metrics such as neural networks or kernel metrics. And in this talk, I'm going to focus on kernel metrics, which are one of the popular and well-studied linear, nonlinear classifiers. As this picture suggests, kernel metrics are powerful in that they allow us to train more complex decision boundaries. But unfortunately, they are slow to train and slow to infer from. Hence, a natural question is to ask if there are metrics that are both fast and powerful. And the answer is yes. There's a series of works called kernel approximation, which reduces the computation time of kernel metrics, making it more computationally tractable. This includes metrics like Nyström metrics, quasi-Monte Carlo, random Fourier features, and so on. And in this talk, I'm going to focus on random Fourier features, which was introduced in a seminal paper by Rahimi and Recht in 2007. So first, I'll give you like a high-level view of this random Fourier features. Then we'll jump into a bit more mathematical details. Rahimi and Recht proposed to find a nonlinear mapping from the original d-dimensional space to a new finite k-dimensional space, such that the kernel of x, y is well approximated by dot product of phi of x and phi of y. If you have such a nonlinear mapping, then training a linear classifier over this new transformed space of phi of x's is same as training a kernel classifier on the old space of x's. Therefore, we have reduced the problem of kernel classification to that of linear classification. And since we are training a linear classifier, it's fast. Since we are imitating a kernel classifier, it's also very powerful. But a priori, it's not clear why such a nonlinear transform phi even exists. And to understand that, we need to delve into a little bit more math. Rahimi and Recht observed that by Bochner's theorem, if a kernel is shift invariant, that is, kernel of x, y just depends on the difference x minus y, then it can be written as a Fourier transform of a positive measure p of w. If this holds, instead of actually exactly computing the underlying kernel, one can obtain several samples, w1 up to wk, according to this positive measure p, and approximate the kernel by the empirical expectation. So this is the main idea behind random Fourier features. And in this talk, I'm going to write it in a matrix form for ease of notation. As presented in the previous slide, we can rewrite it as phi of x dot phi of y, where phi of x is given by 1 over square root k times e to the minus I capital W x, where capital W is a matrix of rows w1 up to wk. Note that each wi is of dimension d, and there are k of them. So this capital matrix w is of size k by d. With this background, a natural question is to ask, how do we choose w? In particular, how well can we approximate the underlying kernel? And secondly, how fast can we compute the transform phi of x? And we are going to understand this via three kernel approximation schemes. The first one is due to Rahimi and Recht, where they propose to use a random Gaussian matrix, and they term it as random Fourier features. We show that a very simple modification of this, where we replace the Gaussian matrix with a scaled orthogonal matrix, yields a much lower mean square error than RFF. We call this metric orthogonal random features. We can further modify it to obtain structured orthogonal random features, where we use a Hadamard diagonal combination. This metric not only has lower mean square error than RFF, but it also is much faster than RFF. And this is going to be the outline for the rest of the talk. So let's start with random Fourier features. In this talk, we are going to look at one of the popular, well-studied shifting-variant kernels, which is the Gaussian kernel. Gaussian kernel of x, y is given by e to the minus norm of x minus y square divided by 2 sigma square. Without loss of generality, I'm going to assume sigma to be 1 in this talk. This does not affect any of our results. You can just think of it as scaling all the samples by 1 by sigma. Since the Fourier transform of a Gaussian is a Gaussian, Rahimi and Reich propose to use a Gaussian matrix G as the matrix W. In particular, like G be a matrix with independent Gaussian entries, that is, each entry is distributed according to a standard normal random variable with mean 0 and variance 1. By Bochner's theorem and the fact that Fourier transform of a Gaussian is a Gaussian, it can be shown that it's an unbiased estimator. Furthermore, by standard results on Monte Carlo sampling, you can prove that the mean square error decreases as a function of k. Recall that k was the number of dimensions in the new transform space. So if you keep taking more and more dimensions, you get better and better kernel approximation. In particular, when k is infinity, you get exactly the Gaussian kernel. Despite this consistency result, in practice, one often needs a large value of k to obtain small mean square error. So a natural question is to ask if you can reduce the mean square error further for small values of k. We answer this question affirmatively by constructing a new scheme called orthogonal random features. At a very high level, intuitively, our idea follows from the following intuition. RFF features are redundant, meaning even though it's a high-dimensional vector, the features carry similar information. One way to remove this is to impose some orthogonality constraint on your matrix W. So ideally, we would like to use a matrix O, which is a random orthogonal matrix. Initially, we had a random Gaussian matrix. We are replacing it by a random orthogonal matrix. Indeed, this does yield a smaller variance because the rows of this matrix are orthogonal, and you can kind of, loosely speaking, get maximum information. But unfortunately, the entries of this matrix are no longer Gaussian, and we incur some bias. We can remove this bias by scaling the entries of this matrix further. So we do this by multiplying this matrix O with a diagonal matrix S, where each diagonal entry is an independent chi-random variable. To put pieces back together, our ORF matrix W is S times O, where S and O are defined above. Recall that a chi distribution is a distribution of norm of a Gaussian random variable. And O, in matrix O, each row, any direction is equiprobable. Therefore, you can prove that the entries of W are now still Gaussian. Hence, ORF is also an unbiased estimator of the underlying kernel. What's more interesting is that we can prove that the mean square error of this estimator is much smaller than RFF. In particular, we show that the ratio of mean square error of ORF to RFF is given by this exact expression, where z is the distance between x and y. Instead of looking at the exact expression, let's look at a figure where I have plotted the same mean square ratio as a function of z. I want you to observe a couple of things. Firstly, this ratio is at most 1 always. So therefore, the mean square error of ORF is at most the mean square error of RFF. Secondly, for small values of z, the ratio is much smaller than 1. And hence, ORF performs significantly better than RFF. And also intuitively, if points are close by, we preserve the local structure better than before. In particular, as z goes to 0, we show that this ratio tends to 0 as z to the 4. This is an asymptotic theoretical result, holds when a number of dimensions is infinity. But empirically, it's easy to see that even for d as small as 32, this result holds. For example, in this picture, you can look at the green curve, which corresponds to d equals 32. Hence, our results are more practical. So a natural question would be, where do we lie on the spectrum? That is, in practice, what values of z actually occur? If you optimize for the kernel bandwidth, which was sigma, you can show that the most values of z lie between 0 and 2 for almost all data sets. Here I've plotted the histogram of z for various data sets. Notice that in this range of between 0 and 2, our mean square error is much smaller than RFF. Instead of plotting a ratio, we can look at the actual mean square error. Here I plotted the mean square error of both ORF and RFF as a function of k by d. Recall that k was the number of dimensions in a new space, and d was the number of dimensions in the old space. Notice that across all values of k, d, and data sets, the red curve, which is the ORF, performs much better than the blue curve, which is RFF. To conclude, we looked at ORF, where the rows are orthogonal, the entries are Gaussian. It has much smaller error than RFF. But both ORF and RFF suffer from some computational issues. In both of them, we need to multiply a k by d matrix with a d-dimensional vector, and this takes time, k times d. Similarly, I didn't tell you how to sample a random orthogonal matrix for ORF, and this further takes some pre-processing time, which is of the order of k times d square. And in many applications, like say if d is of the order of anywhere between 1,000 and 1,000,000, these numbers can be prohibitive. So to overcome that, we propose a structured orthogonal transform, orthogonal random feature, where the rows are orthogonal, but the entries are now near Gaussian. I'll formalize this in a moment. This still has smaller error than RFF, but more surprisingly, we show that the time to compute the transform phi of x now reduces from k times d to k times log d. This reduction from d to log d is significant. For example, even for d equals 1024, a simple MATLAB implementation shows that SORF is 12 times faster than RFF. We call our approach structured matrix approach because we use a structured Hadamard transform in our construction. This has been used in literature in the past. For example, Elang and Schesel used it in dimensionality reduction, and there are several other papers on binary embedding, kernel mechanics, neural networks, and so on. But all of them replace a Gaussian matrix with a structured matrix. Whereas, we are replacing this scaled orthogonal matrix with a structured matrix. This ensures that we still have the lower mean square guarantees of ORF. So what's SORF? We propose to use this following matrix W, which is given by square root d times hd3 times hd2 times hd1, where h is a normalized Hadamard matrix. It's a matrix of scaled plus minus one entries. Think of it just as a Fourier transform over a Boolean cube. And each di is a diagonal matrix with independent plus minus one entries. And the product looks like the figure here. Note that Hadamard matrices are fixed, and only the diagonal matrices carry all the randomness. So to store this matrix, you just need 3 times k space. I claim that this matrix satisfies the following two properties. Firstly, the rows of this matrix are orthogonal. Secondly, the entries of this matrix are almost Gaussian. It's not clear just by looking at this expression but why it's true, but I'll give you like a two-line intuition of it. First, observe that each of the individual matrices, Hadamard and diagonal, are orthogonal matrices. Therefore, when you multiply them, you still get an orthogonal matrix, and hence the rows of W are orthogonal. The second one is why it's near Gaussian is more tricky to see. But if you compute a particular entry of this matrix, say I comma j, by expanding the right-hand side of this equation, you observe that it's an average of several plus minus one random variables. Hence, by central limit theorem, you expect this to approach a Gaussian distribution. We can formalize all of this and show that SORF is a nearly unbiased estimator of the underlying kernel. And the proof follows by Stein's method. In roughly speaking, we show a Berry-Essene type of theorem on Wasserstein-Giskind for these kind of matrices. Perhaps the biggest advantage of using this matrix W is the fact that you can multiply these matrices with vectors in time k log d. This can be done via an FFT type or a butterfly type algorithm, and this improvement is significant in practice. To compare all the metrics I talked so far, I talked about RFF, ORF, and SORF. Of the three, SORF is the fastest, it's the most space efficient, and it has lower error than RFF. We know that there are other metrics which use structuring matrices in kernel approximation, such as FastFoot, which is still fast and time efficient, but their mean square error is much larger than RFF. All of these things can be quantified empirically, which I'll do it in the next slide. Here I'm plotting a mean square error of various kernel approximation schemes as a function of k by d for 3 gigasets, USPS, CIFAR, and MNIST. Recall that k was the number of dimensions in a new future space. Our baseline is the blue curve, which is RFF in all the 3 figures. And I want you to notice a couple of things. Firstly, SORF and ORF, which are given by the green and red curves, have the lowest mean square error consistently across all gigasets and all values of k by d. Secondly, the other structured approaches, such as fast food, which is given by the yellow curve here, has much larger mean square error than RFF. Finally, in terms of implementation, as I said before, SORF offers significant gains in both time and space. For example, when d equals 1024, it's at least 12 times faster and 300 times smaller than RFF. To conclude, we again have a faster, space efficient, and low mean square error kernel approximation. To conclude, we spoke about 2 algorithms for kernel approximation. The first one, orthogonal random features, has much lower error than RFF. The second one, structured orthogonal random features, not only has lower error than RFF, but is also much faster than RFF. Thank you. If you're interested, please come to our poster. It's number 184. Thank you.
Again, there's time for questions. Yes, there's a question over there.
Yes.
Thank you. Very interesting work. I have one question. It's kind of a concern. So your last formula where you was multiplying the matrices, some of them were Hadamard matrices and 3 diagonal matrices to obtain the essentially orthogonal matrices with Gaussian-like entries.
Yes.
And the reason why the entries were Gaussian was because they're random sums of plus minus ones. By central limit theorem, they have to tend to 1. So individual statistics for each individual element will indeed be Gaussian. But now, keep in mind what you're doing, you have 3n plus minus ones,
perfect,
out of which, by a linear combination, you're forming n squared values inside the matrix. So just simple algebra will show that even though individually they all obey the Gaussian statistics, they will be cross-correlated with each other to some significant effect. So I'm just curious to see how exactly this correlation between the elements within matrices will impact the results, because this is actually different from, so they're not IID, they're Gaussian, but they're not IIDs anymore. So does it matter, or will it make your performance worse, or your comments on this?
It's a really good question. There's a lot of related works in this area, such as cross-polytope LSH, kernel matrix, and or even dimensionality reduction, where at a high level, the debate is how many degrees of freedom your random matrix is required. To the best of my knowledge, still people are exploring how well you can prove concentration inequalities for these things. But here, even though I said that individually they follow Gaussian, we can formalize it only for expectation. In other words, we can show this is sufficient randomness to get an unbiased estimator, and empirically our mean square error is small. But it's a really good open question, and we don't have a good answer for that.
Thank you.